Please be seated, friends. Well, we're gathering today to remember a special day, a day where we celebrate the Bishop's Martin here in all his glory. There was an interesting picture of him at the beginning. We weren't sure whether he was grabbing the cloak or giving the cloak, but part of this legend, perhaps there's truth, but definitely that this was that Martin was a 4th century saint who showed enormous compassion to the poor, who had a great commitment to discipling, to teaching, maturing the faith of believers, and bringing people together in a number of monasteries he founded, places where lives would be transformed as believers prayed together, were taught, read God's word, and served the community. So as we remember, that's one of the foundations on which we have put ourselves under God, to remember Martin and to serve others like Martin did. I want to introduce you to a woman from the UK. That might be some of you, huh? A woman from the UK. This woman is about our age. She now lives in Hong Kong, but she was born in 1944, so she's 80 this year. And in 1966, she was in her first year at university studying music in England, and she was a bit disaffected with her local church. It didn't seem to have the vibe that she needed as a young uni student. And even the Christian Union at her university seemed awfully conservative. And she felt that there was more to God than what they had to share. And she had this burning feeling that God wanted to serve her while she was learning to be a trumpet player. What did that look like? We're having trouble with the microphones this morning. And so she went to a local pastor and she said to him, "What do you think I should do?" And he said, "Listen to God." And she said, "Well, all God's saying to me is go." She's in first year university, remember? And she said, "He doesn't give me any more information." And the pastor said to her, "Then you'd better go." She says, "What does that even look like?" And he said, "Well, what does go look like to you?" She said, "Well, it means getting on some sort of transport and heading out." And he said, "Then you'd better do that." And so she looked at the amount of money she had, which was very small, and she bought the cheapest ticket on a ship that went the furthest around the world with the most stops. And this is a picture of her now at 80, recalling, and that's a picture of her back in 66. And this is Jackie Pullinger. Jackie Pullinger is a British girl, was a British girl, who got on a boat in Bristol. I think, can you get on a boat in Bristol? Right, okay. She got on a boat in Bristol and headed out on this boat, and everywhere it stopped, she got off. No, this isn't it. So she got back on the boat until it landed in Hong Kong. And as she got off in Hong Kong, she felt, "Oh, this is it." So she spent a week walking Hong Kong and spending most of the money that she had, saying, "Lord, thank you for putting me here, but which bit?" It's a huge place and so many people. And there were lots and lots of refugees from mainland China pouring into Hong Kong at that time. The revolution was happening, one of the revolutions was happening there. And if you read the webpage of her current society, the St. Stephen's Society that she established, She says, go. Our story, simply put it, began, as it always does, with one person being caught up in the joy and surprise of being loved by Jesus. That was me, Jackie, in 1966. Through a dream, a picture-like vision of the perfect city in the kingdom of God, and a message in a language I didn't understand, I responded to the Lord's insistent go and took a journey by ship, an adventure, sailing to wherever. And having landed in Hong Kong, then came the question, now what? All I wanted to do, and still want, was to find those who were longing to know God's love, whether they were aware of that longing or not. And so I walked streets full of hungry old beggars and the homeless. Overwhelmed by the multitude and needs, I asked God to show me which bit was mine. And he showed me my bit, the walled city. There have been several books, interviews, documentaries that have recorded Jackie's life's work amongst the poor and the lost, the drug afflicted and criminals, and it tells powerful stories about how Jesus' Holy Spirit set thousands of people, one at a time, free of addiction and made alive in Christ, ready to serve others with the miracle of God's saving love and powerful life-changing grace. Faith, as small as a mustard seed, offered in obedience to God, and God filling and expanding that faith to meet the needs of the people who need Jesus. If you want to read more about Jackie, if you've never read the book, you need to read Chasing the Dragon, which is about opium, smoking opium, but that's what Chasing the Dragon is. But this is also about her her mission and what happened in the walled city. There's a book called The Crack in the Wall, which is all stories of different lives that were changed over the time. I think it stops at about 1986, so it's the first 20 years of that walled city ministry. The walled city isn't there anymore, and Jackie's work continues to go on, all over Asia, through the St. Stephen's Society mission. But Luke records Jesus' teaching this morning as three short, pithy stories or statements that were recorded. It's a bit like a handbook of some steps about what to do if you're one of Jesus' followers. Jesus says, watch yourselves. Don't cause another one to sin. Lead them not into temptation. Jesus says, forgive others eternally. Seven times they sin you in the day, you forgive seven times. Remember, in the other setting, it's 70 times seven. A statement of eternally, you just keep forgiving. And then ask for faith and act on it. Peter writes, as in Peter our minister, writes in the message that faith is an action word. And faith is a gift, we're told in Ephesians. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Faith that is multiplied enough to bring us to take the step to say, Jesus loves me, I love him. God takes that and brings us salvation. God takes our first step of, well, I'll buy a ticket and I'll put my foot on the boat, says Jackie, and opens up a ministry. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. We know that. We stumble. We say what we don't mean to say. We don't do what we really should be doing. We mess up. We try and avoid. We make our own decision about something. However, it's woe to those who might cause them to stumble. It would be better for those to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied round their neck. Than to cause a little one to stumble. A little one, yes, a child in age, but perhaps someone who is a child in faith. Someone whose faith and trust in the Lord Jesus is just beginning. That those of us who know are to be there to encourage and to build up and to make more certain under God, not to step on or dismiss or discourage. So Jesus says, watch yourselves, how easy it would be for you to step on the faith of one who's just starting out, who's just wondering how much God loves them. Just wondering, could God really forgive them? And if your brother or sister sins against you, sure, correct them, help them to understand what it is to not sin. But if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you and saying, I repent, you are to forgive them, said Jesus. You find yourself withholding forgiveness, saying you need to show that you can step up a bit better before I begin to give you any room to move. Am I thinking of teenagers here, perhaps? But here is God saying, I forgive you. You are in a right relationship with me because of what Jesus did, however many times you sin. And come and say, I'm sorry. That work of forgiveness has been done. And we are called to be people who live that out. Might we help someone to grow in their faith and to sin less? Absolutely. But do we withhold love while we do that? Not at all. Do we withhold forgiveness while we do that? Not at all. Because God does not withhold his forgiveness from us when we turn. We are modelling God to others. And the apostle said to the Lord, if you want us to live that sort of life, you'd better increase our faith. And Jesus replied, even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, if you do any Indian cooking, you know what mustard seeds look like. I don't know whether you plant them in your garden or not. We do at our place. But those tiny mustard seeds, or perhaps you eat that multi-seeded mustard from France, that might be the other introduction, those tiny seeds, some of the smallest seeds that are planted to grow, grows into quite a plant. If you leave them, they can grow quite tall. I've certainly had them this tall. You only have to start with faith that is barely imagined and offer it to God. And then you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. Or you can step on a boat and go all the way to Hong Kong and take a step onto the shore and go, now what? Where? How? Who? In Mark's gospel, this same story is recorded, and Jesus says to them, have faith in God. Truly I tell you that whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart but believes, it will be done. So here's mountains being thrown into the sea. So if you don't like throwing trees in, you could throw a mountain in. I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you've received it and it is yours. Tiny faith, God acts. And in Matthew, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, and we're talking about Mount Hermon, move from here to here and it will. Nothing will be impossible for you. And we know that the Bible goes on to say nothing is impossible with God. These verses bring us much encouragement, I think. A mustard seed, tiny, tiny millimetres in size. And the picture that the Lord paints for the disciples is one of hope, one of promise, one of certainty. Our faith doesn't need to be outwardly large to have a large impact. There is potential under God. And Jesus' life and Jackie Pullinger's life demonstrates that a seemingly small act of kindness, saying a faith-filled prayer for someone, or whatever faith-motivated act we might do for them, can have an eternal and mountain-moving impact on another's life. You remember the story of the poor widow's offering as Jesus sat there with the disciples and they watched, and a poor widow came in and put two small coins that out of her poverty, all that she had to live on for that day was put into God's hands. Jesus' teaching regularly highlighted small acts that brought great value. I was reading about a Christian influencer. She was writing of washing our minds with the truth of mustard seed thinking. Washing our minds with the truth of mustard seed thinking. As a way of receiving God-given energy to get started. When I listen, she says, to a lady in the grocery store line who freely offers her non-mustard seed thinking advice about what I ought to be doing with my life, it's like someone pulled the plug on my energy and I'm weary in this work. However, when I am thinking in God's perspective, about what God can do with mustard seeds of thinking, then I am greatly encouraged. Have we considered that what God has entrusted to us is meant to grow wide and high and large like a mustard bush? Do we tend our faith? Do we look after our faith with that sense of expectation? That God can take what we have to offer and grow great things. Jackie Pullinger talks about wanting to share Jesus with the people she first met, but found they were in no condition to hear or tolerate her preaching and teaching. And she didn't speak the language anyway. So she started to practice ordinary gospel kindness to meet people's needs. Her term, ordinary gospel. So in her bit, the walled city, she told the Lord it would be worth her whole life if she could make a difference for one person. I told the Lord after walking over the legs of men lying in narrow streets, straddling open sewers. I soon found nobody was listening to my preaching, but they were watching my life. So I began to practice what I call ordinary gospel, sharing rice with a hungry old lady, taking a gangster to hospital after a fight, queuing overnight to register a young girl for school, paying someone's rent, and going to court with a triad member who claimed to be framed. The ongoing story on the website has many more. So what does this say to us as we look to growing hope in our neighbourhood and for our neighbourhood? One of the things that marked Jackie's life was praying. Yes, formal praying on your knees, saying words that are carefully thought. Prayer as she walked, here Lord, or here Lord, or another step Lord. Where do I go now? Her life was prayerful, in prayer. So I believe we need to match and to do this praying earnestly and regularly together, acknowledging that we know God has chosen us and called us to be a point of hope for this community. That we are to share the good news with those around us who still do not know. Lord, might you open their eyes to see. Might we be doing things that are in your plan and purposes so that others will come to know. That we should walk and pray in our neighbourhoods. Meet and pray in small groups. Talk together about what God has been saying to us as we have prayed. This morning, as Barbara and I met together, and we didn't this morning, but you know, we were praying this for our church. What do you think? Is that the right thing to be praying? What do you think God is telling us? So that our conversation is filled with this prayer. So that God will open our eyes. Now, I've been in prayer groups that just kept praying. No, God, but that wasn't really an answer. No, 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 God, you didn't really say to us to go. No, 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 I'm sure we need to test that little promise more. I'm sure, no, 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 don't get out of the prayer group. We might be asked to do something that's unsafe. You have to. God says, pray. And I hate to tell you, he says, and go. Perhaps a very short way, as far as the op shop, wherever you're called that day. But perhaps a long way. Perhaps God gives a vision to someone here who says, Port Augusta really needs someone. I think God's calling me. Calcutta might need someone. I think God is calling me. Who knows? But here, we're to be a place of hope, where we pray in hope, where we offer faith that feels awfully tiny, Lord. And to, as we offer that to God with open hands, prayerfully, that under God, he will use us to be not just a place you come into for hope, but a place where we open ourselves up and go out in hope. Taking every opportunity. We've got a fete coming up. Are we praying about the people that come into this place on fete day? Do we see that as a place where people might find hope in the Lord Jesus? Is that a sort of odd thing? But the places that draw people, the times and places we draw people in are places when they come in contact and we minister to them, but also God says, and take it and step out. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to come before you thanking you for all the goodness you give us. Lord, you have given us a faith to know you, to know that you love us and that you send us and use us. You've commissioned us. So, Lord, we hold on to that by faith. But, Lord, we want to open our hands this morning and offer to you small faith big faith, faith you can take hold of and use. Lord, help us together to hear you speak, to hear you lead us and guide us. Lord, you have equipped us with so much goodness, so many good things. Lord, help us to release those. Keep growing us. Help us to flourish so that we become tall and wide in sharing the hope of Jesus with the world around us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.